Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Father, we are so thankful that we can trust you. We are so thankful that we can believe you. We're so thankful that you are God who hears our prayers and you are intimately involved with all of our lives. And Father, as we just sung, we need you every hour. Father, we need you every moment. We need you with every breath that we take. And Father, as we anticipate 2017, I just pray that this might be a great year of spiritual awakening in all of our hearts and lives. I pray that we might see you do tremendous things through us and in us as we seek to follow after you and seek to learn and to grow and to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we look in your word this morning, I pray that you might speak to our hearts, that you might challenge our hearts, remove any of those things that would hinder us from truly hearing you this morning. I pray that you might take away those thoughts that distract us. I pray that you might open our eyes to what you have for us as individuals and as a church. And Father, I'm so thankful for the freedoms that we have in this country, the privilege that we have to gather together, to gather with great freedom without fear. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you might be glorified, that you might be heard, and that you might speak to us. We love you, Father. We thank you for your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we start this new year, we want to focus our attention on a passage of Scripture that's familiar. Pastor Jason read from Luke chapter 19. We are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 25, actually, which is a parallel passage and a passage that is similar in its nature. So as we look at this morning, we're going to be talking about time and opportunity. All of us are given time, and all of us ultimately are given opportunity. We all have 525,600 minutes in a year. And right now we've already burned 630 of those minutes. Think about that. And so as we think of that, that there is a specific amount of time that each of us have, we all have that same amount of time given to us by God within a year to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to look at three things. I want to look at our time, I want to look at our resources, and I also want to look at our responsibility or our opportunities, which would be a better word for that. So we're going to look at time, resources, and opportunity, because I believe that God gives us those things for His work and for His purpose to fulfill the plan that He has for us, to fulfill the commission that He has given us so that we might proclaim the message of the gospel with great fervency, because we know that our time is short. And so let's look at this passage this morning. As I was thinking about this passage and what to think about, there are many songs that are written about time, aren't there? Time in a bottle. If I could have put time in a bottle, first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day. Okay. Maybe some of you have never heard that song. How about the birds in the 60s? Turn, turn, turn to everything. There is a season from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Maybe some of you remember DC Talk and Time is Ticking Away. Okay. Anybody familiar with that one? Two of us again. Okay, there we go. The song from Rent, Seasons of Love. There are 525,600 minutes in that song. Chicago, if you used to listen to Chicago, does anybody really know what time it is? Or 25 or 6 to 4, the Beatles sang yesterday. There are many songs that talk about time and how we allot our time and what we do with our time and how we think about time. And so this morning, again, what I'd like to do is just to take us to those thoughts of time and opportunity. Let's look at this passage in Matthew chapter 25. We'll start reading in verse 14 and work our way down to verse 30. Jesus is telling a parable. This is the fifth of five parables, talking about service, basically. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability, and then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talents in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown it and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And they cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. Similar passage to what we read in Luke. We're talking about minas, which was basically 3 months' wages in the passage in Luke. We're talking about talents here, which in today's money is about $1 million. And so we see the contrast of these two parables, but similar in the fact that God or the master was going on a long journey. He was going to be separated from his money, from his property, from his people for a long time, an undisclosed period of time. And he was going to then allow these men to take the money that they had or the money that was given to them and do something with it. They were given some time, they were given resources, and the master challenged them with an opportunity to do something with the money that they had been given. It's similar for each of us as believers, but also as a church. God gives us a specific amount of time. We don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. He has given us resources beyond what we can imagine. And he's also providing opportunities for us to be able to advance the kingdom of Christ and be able to proclaim the message of the gospel to a world that desperately needs to hear and desperately needs hope. And so this morning, the challenge for us is which one of those servants are we? As an individual and as a church, which one of those servants would we identify with? Now, the first two did exactly what they were told. The first two servants were rewarded for what they had done. The third servant thought he was doing well in not losing the money, but in reality didn't take advantage of the opportunities that were given to him. So this morning, what I'd like us to do is just focus in those three areas. What kind of time do we have? What kind of time has God given us? What kind of resources has God blessed us with? And then what kind of opportunities might we have if we get serious about what God has for us as a church and as individuals? So let's start with our core values. What do we value as a church? They're in our bulletin every week. We hopefully you look at them and hopefully you see them. But we have four core values that we hold to. First of all, we hold to the Word of God. We are fundamental in our understanding of the Word of God and the interpretation of the Word of God. We are extremely conservative in our theology based on that Word of God. Those things are not going to change. We are going to continue to preach the full gospel. We are going to continue to preach the whole counsel of God. We are going to use this book to guide us and to lead us. And what our prayer is and what our hope is that you as individuals would take seriously this book, that you would be challenged by this book, that you would be in this book, that you would be reading this book for your spiritual growth and your spiritual development. And we provide different ways of doing that. Pastor Jason just mentioned the reading guide for 2017. I hope that at least you're taking that and saying, okay, I'm gonna take this reading guide and my goal for this year, my plan for this year is to read through the Bible. It may be the first time you've ever done that. What a challenge that would be for you. Secondly, is family, building up godly families to follow after Christ and providing support and encouragement for the families. In February, we're going to be hosting an XO conference, marriage conference with Jimmy and Karen Evans here at the church. It is just one of those opportunities just for us to help build marriages, help marriages to grow and develop. Marriages in the United States are in trouble. Marriages within the church are in trouble. We were just with our daughter and son-in-law in Kansas City for a couple days, and they're telling us about a family that's just an active family, a family that's just been such a part of their church and such a help in their church. Husband came home not too long ago, within the last week or so, and said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm filing for divorce. Satan is attacking. And he's attacking the families because he knows if he can attack the families and he can destroy families, he's going to destroy the very framework and fabric of the church, and not only the church, but the nation. So we want to be a church that is helping support the family and help build up the family. The third thing we have is a mission. We want to be about doing the work that God has called us to do. We don't want to stay within these four walls of this building. We want to have a greater vision and a more expanded vision of the work that we can do to proclaim the message of the gospel in the community and around the world. That's our mission. We are commissioned to do that. The Great Commission is what God has given us as a church, our marching orders. And the fourth thing is that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven apart from faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ. And we are going to proclaim that message, and that message is not going to be watered down. It's a hard message because it exposes man's sin. It exposes man's need. And his need for a Savior, and a need for one to step into his place to fill the gap, to pay the debt. And people don't want to hear that. But we are going to be proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So those are our core values. If you looked at our website recently, you'll see that we have a tagline that says we are shaped by our past and we're driven by our future. We can't continue to live in the past. We can't continue to live in what Walnut Ridge used to be. We need to take that as a foundation. We have some great pillars, don't we? We have some great pillars that were driven deep in for this church. And pillars can do one of two things. First of all, they can hold things up. And the second thing that it can do is make for a sure, solid foundation to be able to build and grow for the future. And my heart is that we will take our past and that great foundation and to be able to build what God would have Walnut Ridge to be in our community today. I want my ceiling as the pastor of this church to be the floor of the next one that would take over here at Walnut Ridge. I pray that our vision and our desire and our hope and our drive is beyond what we see here or what we have seen in the past. My heart is that God would do great things through Walnut Ridge because we are faithful to His Word and faithful to His calling on us as a church. And so, we read this parable. We see the master is gone. He is left for an undetermined amount of time. What kind of time do we have? Well, through this Christmas season, we've seen that in the fullness of time, in Galatians chapter 4, God sent forth His Son. There was a time, a specific time, when God was going to break into history, that God was going to come and dwell here on earth, in the flesh, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that in this idea of we have time. God has a plan and He's working out that plan and He has a set time for everything. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says that all of our days are written in his book before one of them ever comes about. So the reality is that God already has our lives mapped out. He already has all of our days written in His book. We don't live one moment more, one moment less than what God has already written down for us. So we, in our lives, we have a predetermined amount of time that we are going to live, and God knows that. And God knows what that amount of time is. Jeremiah chapter 29:11. We're familiar with that passage. But it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. So God has a plan for us as a church. And we are working within His time frame. And we are working within that set amount of time that He has given us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes this. Paul writes, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to Him, things in heaven and things on earth. God is talking about that time. So we see that God has given us a predetermined amount of time. He has given us these for 2017, 5,525,600 minutes. And how are we going to use those as a church? If God has a plan and God has a purpose and God has a set plan for us as a church, how are we going to use this time for His honor and for His glory, for the proclamation of His gospel to a lost and dying world, for the building up of believers, for the building up of one another in our spiritual walk and our spiritual growth, so that we might be everything that God has called us to be? How much time do we have to do the work that God has called us to do? Well, for this year, we know how much time. Beyond this year, we don't. So my prayer is that we would be guardians of this time, that we would use it wisely as individuals and as a church, that we would not waste time doing things that are unimportant, that we might just keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, that we might be seeking Him for guidance and direction so that we might be able to accomplish what He has called us to do. Sometimes we waste a lot of time doing things that amount to not a whole lot. I want to be about great things for God this year. I want to see God do great things through Walnut Ridge. So that's our time. We do have resources. And as I said, the first servant was given 5 talents, which was about $5 million. And the master said to him, just go ahead and do what you think is best with that, pretty much. Giving you $5 million, I'm trusting you with this. Do something with it. As the master comes back after that undetermined amount of time, that servant, that faithful servant had invested, had done whatever he needed to do to double his money, to double his master's money. So now he's handing back to his master $10 million. Second servant, the same thing. He was given 2 talents. And he returns 4. And then you have the one servant who said, I'm not going to take any chances with this. I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm going to bury it. Buried $1 million. The one thing I don't want to do is get to the end of life for the end when Christ comes back and he looks at us and says, I have blessed you with resources. Thank you for saving them, but you didn't accomplish the work that God has called you to with the resources that I provided for you. God has blessed us as a church, hasn't He? God has blessed us with resources from folks who had a heart and a desire to see this church do and continue to do the work that God has called us to do for the furtherance of the kingdom of Christ. That's what God has provided for us. When is He going to return? I don't know. But we have the resources to do the work. We have the resources to be innovative. We have the resources to dream. We have the resources to try some things that other churches don't have the opportunity to do because of the resources that He has given us. What can we do within our context with the people? People are resources also. God has given us people. God has given us a facility. I think somebody said we have 85,000 square feet of building here. What can we do with the resources that God has given us to meet needs within our community, to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in innovative ways that don't break down what we are as a church, that don't undermine the truth of the Word of God, but help us to be able to see a clear vision on how we can do the work that God has called us to do. I want us to dream. I want us to try. And there are going to be times that we're going to fail in the things that we try. But at least we're trying. At least we're doing something. I was in a church not too long ago that we didn't do anything unless it was going to succeed. So we didn't do much. Because you can't guarantee success. You trust God. You pray. You bathe it in prayer. You make sure that we're doing everything that we can do, and then we go ahead and forge ahead, praying that God would bless, and God does. And it's God who shows up. God's the one who gives the increase. So I want us to be able to use our resources for the furtherance and the enhancement of the gospel. I would love to stand before God one day and give an account and say, you gave us 5 talents. And Father, here are the 10 talents we're giving back to you. Amen. I pray that individually. I pray that for myself. But I pray that as a church, that we get serious about what God has called us to do. God has also given us opportunity. How do we invest what we have? What kind of opportunities are out there? We don't know all the opportunities. We heard of some at the beginning of last year, as we had the opportunity to have different ministries within the church or within the community come and share what God is doing in the community around us. What can we do? What can we be involved in? What kind of opportunities can we take advantage of and be a part of and help and staff or whatever the case might be? Maybe it's a financial commitment. I don't know what the opportunities are. But I want to start to investigate those opportunities. I want to start to see what God might do with us. He has strategically placed us on this corner. We say that over and over again. I've been here almost two years now. And my heart is that God would explode this place. That God would fill this place again, because we are doing what He has called us to do. And I want to take advantage of every opportunity God gives us. This XO conference is something that I think would be a benefit to the community and a benefit to the couples around us. And my prayer is that we would fill this place for that 2-day conference, Friday night, Saturday morning, that would be something that just energizes our couples and our marriages and our community. And there's many more of those types of opportunities for us to take advantage of. And my prayer is that we would do that. We want to invest wisely. We want to move ahead as God leads us. We want to be in constant prayer for what God might have us do. God has given us a great staff. We've got so much to do. So little time to do it. So what are some of our goals for 2017? First of all, we're going to emphasize prayer again. We're going to take advantage of those opportunities. We're going to form a prayer team. We're going to form and provide opportunities for specific days of prayer, quarterly days of fasting and prayer. We're going to have our prayer room together. We're going to form our prayer teams. Men, we've been praying on Saturday mornings. We are going to continue that. But prayer is going to become an emphasis within this body. We can only move ahead as we are on our knees and on our face before a holy God. Wednesday night prayer meeting. If you're not involved in a ministry, be here on Wednesday night to pray. Take advantage of these prayer times. The more and more I read young guys who are in large churches, it's not the music and it's not the lights, it's not the programs, it's not any of that stuff that's driving their churches. It is men and women on their faces before God, broken and praying and asking God to do great things through them. Prayer is essential for us as a church. And our number one goal for 2017 is to make sure that we are providing every opportunity. Next week, I'm going to have something for us as a challenge as a church body, as individuals. How we can pray 31 days, 21 days actually, a 21-day program. That's not a program, that's not a challenge. Let me put it that way. 21-day challenge. What do I need to change this year to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? What can I do to enhance my growth for Christ? And what can I do to continue to pray? Next goal is that of outreach. We're going to follow up on our specific events, Awana, VBS, reaching out into the community. We're going to make sure that we're getting names, that we're getting addresses, and that we're following up on those that God brings onto our campus, whatever other events we have. And we know people aren't involved in other churches and they're looking for a church or they're not connected with a church. How do we follow up on them? How do we reach out to them to best impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The third area is that of discipleship. Discipleship is important. Spiritual growth, spiritual understanding of the Word of God is important. But it's beyond knowledge. It's beyond one more thing that I know. I appreciate the tradition that I grew up in. I grew up in a GRBC church. I got great training. I theology, and when I went to Bible college, I was light years ahead of most that were there just because of my background. But sometimes we fall short in the practical application of what does this mean for me when I walk out of these doors. And what we want to provide are these discipleship opportunities. How do I study the Bible? Inductive Bible studies, men's and women's studies. Just how do I take the Word of God and apply it to my life so that I might be able to go out and share that? How do I grow? How do I develop in my walk with Christ? And we want to provide these discipleship opportunities. We also want to provide evangelism opportunities. Our fourth goal for 2014 is that of evangelism. Pastor Jason has challenged us with By This Name. And it's more than just handing out a book. Now we need to follow up on it. Now the work comes. Is how do we follow up on those books, on those individuals that are maybe reading the book? So evangelism is going to be important. There was a study at one time that says how to share your faith without fear. Anybody afraid of sharing their faith? You know, just provide opportunities, evangelism training. How do we strike up conversations? How do we start spiritual conversations? But we want evangelism to be a part of our body. If we're not excited about the Word of God, and if we're not excited about how the Word of God is transforming our lives, we can talk till we're blue in the face with somebody down the street. Because if it's not changing us, it's not going to change them. So as we think of prayer and as we think of outreach and as we think of discipleship, it leads us to evangelism. Because then we're excited about what God is doing. What God is doing at our church and what God is doing through us as individuals. And so those are the opportunities. Those are the goals that we have for 2017. And I want us to be challenged by those things. I want us to be excited about those things. We're living in a culture now. It's not like it was 50 years ago. It's not like it was 30 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, where people were walking off the street into church because they knew that they needed something. People are coming to church when they're invited. People are coming to church when somebody says, you know what, this is life-changing for me, and I think it'll be life-changing for you. And let me just share what God is doing in my life. And I think He could do the same thing in yours. Why don't you come along with me? And we'll grow together. That's our challenge for 2017. Our mission statement says this. That we are to make mature and mobilize authentic followers of Christ. We only make disciples or followers of Christ by evangelism. We only mature by discipleship. And we only mobilize as we see a greater vision than ourselves. As I said before, we are shaped by our past and driven by our future. Just jotted down some things here. that I want to share with you as I close. This is sort of my vision for the next 5 years and beyond, maybe. But I see Walnut Ridge Baptist Church as a church that will be true to its calling, visionary in its nature, committed to boldly impacting the Cedar Valley with the greatest of all causes, and that being the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I see Walnut Ridge as a church that refuses to be content with the triumphs of the past, but is constantly looking forward toward the future, filled with a vision that inspires and influences each person. I see Walnut Ridge as a church that says, "Welcome home," to every man, woman, and child that walks through these doors. I see Walnut Ridge as a church that is a worshiping church whose music reflects such a passion for Christ that others sense His greatness and His power. I see Walnut Ridge Baptist Church as a church that is innovative in reaching out to the community around us with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I see Walnut Ridge Baptist Church as a church that houses a school that is broad, that has a broad impact into the community by providing a quality education, seeking to build godly character, and teaching the timeless truths of the Word of God. I see Walnut Ridge Baptist Church as a church whose leadership is unified in its commitment to be authentic, credible, and spiritually potent with genuine humility. Leaders who dare to be themselves but live secure in the knowledge that they are part of something bigger than the part that they play. I see Walnut Ridge Baptist Church as a church that loves God, loves people, and loves life. Youthful in spirit, generous in heart, solid in theology, loving in nature, and inclusive in expression. I see Walnut Ridge Baptist Church committed to bringing the love and hope of Christ to impossible situations through the preaching of the Word and the Gospel, and a mandate that drives us to do all that we can do to bring help, hope, and solutions to a needy world. Our head is Jesus. Our help is from the Holy Spirit, and our focus is on the Great Commission. God has given us time. God has given us resources, and God has given us opportunity. I pray that 2017 is a year that we see God do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the year that we have ahead of us. We thank You for the time and the resources and the opportunity that You give to us. Father, I pray that we might take advantage of each of those for the advancement of Your kingdom. Father, I pray that You might do amazing things as we humble ourselves before You. As we get on our knees and as we get on our faces before You, confessing sin, repenting, and turning our hearts and our church and our lives over to You. Father, I thank You for this morning. Take us from this place challenged not by anything that I said, but by Your Holy Spirit. We love You, Father, and we thank You for the privilege that You give us to serve You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.